Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me they're not fuchsia.
Oh, they're not fuchsia.
Then what? Oh, they're gaudy, aren't they? All ruffles and lace. great. We'll look like a chorus line.
No. They're really quite simple. It's the material I'm most concerned about.
Oh, I knew it. I specifically said no chiffon. I mean, it's so passe. I just don't think...
It's not chiffon.
Then what?
They're made out of old yellow pages.
What? I didn't catch that. It sounded like you said they're made out of old yellow pages.
Yep. I'm afraid you heard right. It's got something to do with recycling and good karma on her wedding day.
Oh, that's special. I'm not going to know whether a guy's checking me out or just looking for the number of a good mechanic.
Funny. Very funny.
There's a better way to recycle your outdated Dex phone books. Find out just how easy we've made it in your neighborhood. Call 1-877-2-GET-DEX or log on to DexKnows.com.
You know, every time I play that commercial, I crack up because we actually have one that we also play in Spanish. But I like that commercial. When I first got it, it was just so amazing. Funny. Very funny. But anyway, let's read some email notes. Now, a couple of weeks ago, actually 2 weeks ago, I think it was, I spoke to 300 students at Kingsbury High School. And I was a speaker concerning Career Day. And so I told the students after I gave a really nice lecture, and they said they really appreciated me being there, that they could write me and call me and get involved with me, and I would come back to talk to them about writing. Well, I got an email the other day from Sharice Nichols, and she's from Kingsbury High School. And she wrote me an email saying, you came to my school for Career Blast Week, and you said I could contact you to help me walk through the publishing process. I know that I am nowhere near being ready for publishing just yet, but I would like to know the steps so that when I am ready, I will be prepared. I would be ever so grateful if you could get back with me. Thank you for your time. Well, of course, I wrote her right back and told her if there's anything she needs, and I plan on going back out to her school and work with her and get her involved and the other students that want to be writers like I am and just talk to them. So. For Ms. Nichols, as I told you in your email, yeah, I'll come back out to your school and talk to you and work with you to get good book writing. Now we have another letter in from Corpus Cove, Texas. Mr. McClure, I am from Corpus Cove, Texas, and I listen to your show every Friday. I wonder, are you coming to Texas soon? I always hear you say you stay in the North Galleria area when you are here. I was hoping and me and some of the students in my school can come and visit when you are here to talk about a book club in our school. And we would like, I'm doing terrible. We would like your help on writing a play. I guess that's why I got confused. I said, okay, we're from a book to a play. Her name is Deborah Jackson, and she's in Corpus Cove, Texas. And she says, now listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Your fans in Texas love you. And I thought that was so cute. And she wrote a little P.S. at the end. She said, P.S., we think you are cute from your book covers. Uh-oh. I guess I got a couple of little crushes out there in high school land. That's funny to me. But anyway, I'm going to get out that way and try to help them. The last one I'm going to read is Mr. McClure. I have been a fan and a listener since I heard your third show. I hope you will continue to be a positive voice in America because you have no idea how many lives you have touched in North Carolina. And that's from a gentleman named Arthur L. Jacobson. So I want to thank Mr. Jacobson, and I want to thank everybody that listens to my show. And we're just going to continue on and get this show going. A lot of people wanted to know who I was going to be talking to. Well, I'm going to see if I can get her on the line. Her name is Andrea, or I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, Andrea. I think her middle name is Lucas, and her last name is Dunford. So, Ms. Andrea Dunford, Lucas, I'd like to invite you to the show to talk about your grandfather and let the listening audience know that you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you
Hello,
for giving
Ms. Lucas,
me.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. I'm so excited about having the granddaughter of a major that was in the Tuskegee Airmen on my show, and a lot of people wanted to know what I was going to talk about and how well you knew your grandfather, and I'm excited to have you on my show. So how's your day going?
It's going great. Thank you.
Okay. Are you nervous?
Pardon?
Are you nervous?
Oh, no. I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay. Well, listen, after I talk to you for a little bit, I'm going to play a clip from the movie of the Tuskegee Airmen so we can kind of give the audience a little feel of the great movie that was done. But start to tell us a little bit about being, how do you feel about being the granddaughter of somebody that was in Black history that, I mean, changed the world and changed world history? Tell the audience what you feel about being the granddaughter of a great person.
Well, it's still amazing. It's, you know, a lot of times I look back and reflect and think about the movie and what we know in history, and although it was my grandfather, it still hasn't really resonated, even after many, many years.
Well, you know what? I got to meet one of my grandmothers, and of course I didn't get to meet the other ones, and I never got to meet my grandfather. So to me, I mean, you actually got to talk to your grandfather later years. I mean, this was a man that had been in the military. So did you have a good relationship with him? What kind of person was he? I mean, tell us a little bit about, his name is Carol S. Woods. And ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. His name is Major Carol S. Woods from the military of the Tuskegee Airmen. So tell us a little bit about the personal relationship you and him had.
My grandfather had already started his career in the military when I was born. He had already been in the military 12 years. He actually started in the Army. So we didn't really get to see him a lot as I was growing up. And it was only later in my adult years that we were able to spend more time with him. He retired in 1968. But he's a very nice, pleasant person. And I'm not saying that because he's my grandfather, but we were just blessed that he was just a friendly person and willing to share and help other people and encourage them and be a mentor.
Well, when he first came back from the war, I remember talking to you and you were saying that his plane had been shot down, and I think he was a POW, a prisoner of war in Italy. And did he talk a lot about the war when he first came back?
No, he actually didn't talk about it for many years. A lot of times I think he kind of felt guilty because he was an officer in the military, and then, you know, he was kind of always thinking about his men. But as we got older, and he kind of started opening up and we were able to ask him questions, I asked him, did he always want to be a pilot? And, you know, growing up in the South on a farm, you know, you were encouraged to be a teacher or you're going to be a farmer. And he told me that he always wanted to be a pilot. And as a boy, he would make airplanes out of popsicle sticks and fly them. So I think he's always, you know, had that in his heart. That was his big dream and his desire. And actually, he was not really of legal age when he went into the service. He was 16 years old, and his brother was 15 years old.
Really? Well, you know what? I was watching some clips from the movie today because I always do research on the subjects I'm talking about. And when they open the movie, there's a little boy in a field, and he's playing with airplanes like he really wants to fly, and he sees a plane land, and then later on he turns into Lawrence Fishburne, and he becomes Hannibal, and he gets into the Air Corps for the United States. And it's just amazing how I think the image of African Americans sometimes back in the day is always painted like as if we didn't really have dreams because we were enslaved, we really didn't almost accomplish a lot of things, and for these men to do what they did along with like women like Betsy Coleman. But when I'm looking at the clip, and I've had a chance to meet some other people that were involved in aviation films, it just touches you to know that these Black men played such a great role in our history, and we're still celebrating. A lot of people, matter of fact, how I got in touch with you was we were talking, and then all of a sudden, actually, before that, I had got an invitation to go to the Tuskegee Airmen. So celebration that they're doing this year, and I think it's in Georgia. The one I went to before for Betsy Coleman, it was in Ohio, and I was so proud to be there. So I had planned on December 15th or 16th, I think is when it is, and I'm going to share that information later on with the public, but they can get a ticket to that event. But just to talk to somebody, like I said, that's the granddaughter of this great person, and to watch the movie, I mean, it's so touching. You're a part of history, like Paris Hilton is a part of history for the Hilton family. So I know your family's proud, and your friends should be just elated that they know the granddaughter of a great person.
Yes, he was our hero. It's still amazing, like you say, because to know who he was and what he did. I was looking at even the movie about the Tuskegee Airmen, and then I interviewed my grandfather. I asked him, I said, you know, the things that they portray in the movie, was that true? And he said, yeah, it was, about the way that they were treated. In the group that he trained with, they started out with 61 men for a six-week course, and at the completion of the course, only 21 of them made it.
Hmm. Well, you know, and like I said, it's so amazing. I'll tell you what, hold on for a minute. I'm going to play a little clip, and of course, for my viewing audience, it's got Skype, they can see the clip, but for the listening audience, they can hear the clip. But I kind of want to play one of the clips that I took out of from the movie, and I usually try to do the soundtrack. Let's see if we can get that on, and you can kind of listen to it. And then, you know, we'll come back to you and ask some more questions. I'm glad you're on my show. And right after I finish the clip, I'll play a PSA, and we'll be right back to you. But I kind of want to play this clip while I'm talking to you so you can get kind of a feel of what, and I know, I'm sure you've seen the movie, but I just kind of want to play the clip for the listening audience, since my audience is from all over the country, and see, you know, kind of getting them to focus back on maybe even going to get that video. But let's take a quick listen to this. It's a clip that I recorded from the Tuskegee Airmen film.
You just love me. Hey,
yeah.
You ready for all of this? I mean, we in the army now, boy.
Well, it's not a tumor, but I've been ready for this for a long time.
What about you, Walter? What, Stick? Stick was born ready. He probably popped out his mama with a full bomb load.
Come graduation, none of y'all's names will be in front of mine.
Oh, is that right?
Guaranteed.
Well, what might that name be there, Reverend Bookworm? Stick or Rudder?
Peebles. Walter Derrick, the third. Aeronautical engineer.
Hannibal Lee, Jr., pre-med.
Lewis Johns, English literature.
William A. Train Roberts, political science.
Roy Jonas Cappy, art history.
Andrew Turner, sociology.
Charles Tate. Halfback.
William Pitt, economics.
Now, before I play the PSA, you know, that movie painted such a different picture of African-American men for me at that time, because here these guys are in a barracks, and one of them's joking around, and they start to tell what they did before they entered the service. And if you listen to the educational background, the drive and the pride they had and how they had achieved, I think that was such a great point to the film, so that these men had taken aeronautical engineering, they were studying history, political science. So some of the movies sometimes kind of guide you along, like the black man was just out there in the country in the field doing nothing and just wanted to join the service. But these men had a commitment. We're going to play another clip later. But so what did you think of the clip?
Oh, I think it was very accurate, and as you say, you will see that that, you know, they came from various backgrounds. I know there was only maybe three brothers out of 10 boys with granddaddy's family that went into the service. The others became professors, mathematician at Howard University, and my cousin that's a chancellor previously at University of Ohio. But, you know, their family pushed and strived for them to get an education or, you know, to do something positive in their life.
Well, you know, you were telling me something about the land that he owned, and you were telling me that, and let's see if I got this right. You were saying that the family, when they got land, I think your grandfather and another grandfather of yours, they bought land, and I think the agreement was nobody in the family could get rid of the land. They could only take it back to the family. I mean, tell us a little bit about what his value was for his family that was so important and played such a great role in your mind, even about the land.
Well, actually, the grandfather that you're speaking of is on my dad's side, which is Robert Jack Lucas from Georgia. And at age of 27, he owned 350 acres of land. And
oh, wait, 350 acres?
50 acres at age 27.
And
we were never sharecroppers. They were always landowners. And back in the day, that also determined how many votes you would have, you know, on the political scene. And my grandfather, he had 10 votes because of the amount of land that he owned. And so, you know, even today, we still own the majority of that land, and that was close to 100 years ago.
Well, see, that's I had never heard a story like that. Ever. And I've talked to a lot of African-Americans, and I think it's important to talk about that. Here's a man that goes into the military. Here's another grandfather that's telling them that he owns so much land that he's got 10 votes because, again, the impression back during the day is that blacks didn't have a whole lot of land or got burnt down like Rosewood or Oklahoma City with Black Wall Street, but here's two men in the family still kind of have that land, which is what I talk a lot about. I mean, you are so exciting. I'm just excited to have you on my show to know and to hear the things that you're talking about, because family connections is what we say in the black community we don't have a lot of, and we don't usually pass anything down, but you can tell that wasn't true. Now, your grandfather came from Georgia or Alabama?
Both my grandfathers are from Georgia. We're from Valdosta, Georgia, which is about 230 miles south of Atlanta. But my grandfather, once he retired from the military, he spent most of his time in Montgomery and Birmingham. And then after he retired from the Air Force in 1968, he was the chief accountant at Tuskegee University, and that's where he retired from.
Tuskegee University, he was the chief accountant after he left the military and things like that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, Valdosta, isn't that where this great onion grows?
Where what grows?
I think it's known for some onions or something like that.
That's Valdea. That's the Valdea.
Oh, okay.
This is Valdosta.
I'm trying to see if I can get some, but you can't.
It's not far from there.
I was showing you eating something. I just had a Polish, and it was really good. I had some other chips on there.
Yeah.
I'm good. I didn't give you some money. I'm just kidding. Anyway, you're listening to the Donis McClure Show, and of course, I'm Donis McClure, and the numbers to get in to call me are 818-691-7395, and actually, to tell you the truth, I really did have a couple of bonuses, but the numbers to call is 818-691-7395. If you want to email me, you can reach me at mcluadonis@gmail.com. Boy, I'm cracking up. Or you can reach me at mcluadonis@yahoo.com, and I am talking to a fabulous guest of mine. Now, you're in the Washington State area. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, are you in the Washington State area?
Yes, I am.
Okay, yeah, because I could hardly hear you when I asked you, were you in the Washington State area? So that's not Washington, D.C. You're in the actual upper part of the state.
Washington State.
Okay.
Well, on the west coast.
How do you like the weather there?
It's good. No snow. Good.
No snow. Do they have any onions there I can get some of or something?
Walla Walla onions are like the Valdellas.
Okay. I have to check on that. Well, let me take a quick PSA. I'll be back. I want to talk more about your grandfather that has changed a lot of things. I got a chance to hear one of the interviews online that he did, and I'm more than sure this was long before he passed, but it was very interesting to see him talk about the planes and stuff. And then after we play the PSA and come back, we're going to talk to you a little bit more, and then we're going to play another clip from the movie, and I'm just enjoying you being on my show. I think you're a superstar, and I'm really proud to have you as a guest. So I'll be right back after I play this PSA. And ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Andrea Lucas Dunford. And that Dunford, that's an English last name. Isn't that an English last name?
Well, yes.
Okay, all right. Well, look, we'll be right back with you, and we're going to talk more about your grandfather and see what we can come up with as far as knowing exactly some things that you and him enjoy doing together as a granddaughter with a grandfather. So we'll be right back.
Hola.
Yolanda, habla Lorena.
¿Qué pasa?
Los vestidos de damas de honor para la boda de Verónica.
Ah, no. Dime que no son fucsia.
No, no son fucsia.
Entonces, ¿qué? Son muy llamativos, con puntillas y volados. Fantástico. Vamos a parecer como un desfile de payasos.
Ay, no, no, nada de eso. Son bastante simples. Lo que me preocupa es el material.
Ah, lo sabía. Específicamente le dije que no eligiera chifón. Está pasado de moda.
No es chifón.
Entonces, ¿qué es?
Están hechos de viejas páginas amarillas.
¿Qué? No, no te escuché bien. Sonó como que están hechos de viejas páginas amarillas.
Has oído correctamente. Tiene que ver con el reciclaje y la buena fortuna en el día de su boda.
Oh, fantástico. ¿Cómo voy a saber si los hombres me están mirando a mí o si están buscando el número de teléfono de un mecánico?
Ay, tú sí que eres graciosa.
Hay una mejor forma de reciclar sus viejas vías telefónicas de Dex. Lo hemos hecho fácil, conveniente y en su área. Llame al 1-877-2-GET-DEX o visite dexknows.com.
Hi, I'm Jet Williams. Even though I never knew my father, Hank Williams, his legacy taught me the meaning of lending a helping hand. That's why I support the Orphan Foundation of America. OFA is committed to providing education, mentoring, and a workplace readiness for thousands of teens aging out of the foster care system. With the help of OFA's support programs, these young people can go to college and trade school, graduate, and make the leap from foster care to success. To learn how you can help, visit orphan.org.
Every year, thousands of teens age out of foster care and face life on their own without the love and support of a family. For over 25 years, the Orphan Foundation of America has provided a safety net of support for these vulnerable young people. With OFA's help, these youth graduate from college and trade school, progress to exciting professional careers, and make the leap from foster care to success. Find out how you can support America's foster youth. Log on to orphan.org. That's orphan.org.
And we're back, and I'm talking to the granddaughter, Andrea Lucas Dunford, of Major Carol S. Woods, a member of the Tuskegee Airmen, and she's on my show tonight. Now, Ms. Dunford, what kind of fun things did you do with your grandfather? Did you talk to him a lot, or did he give you that wisdom? What actually happened between you and him as a child with a grandfather? Did you call him grandpa or what?
Well, actually, we called him Granddaddy, but we really didn't get to, know him until we were like nearly 30 years old because he was gone all the time. When he would make it home for, a break, he would meet us down south, and we'd spend a couple of days with him. So we knew of him. But mostly as an adult.
Oh, okay. All right. So did he give you any of that advice, like, hey, what kind of guys to date or stuff like that?
No. Most of the time when we talked, we really talked about his career and, you know, what it was like being in the service. And he's always up on encouraging young people to get an education because when they went into the service and then they had to take the exam to be a pilot, he and his brother scored a 93 and 98. And, you know, people had the idea that that was, just not realistic for a black man to score like that on a test, and they had to retake the test. And, you know, he took his education very seriously. So, you know, a lot of times kids, they want to do certain things in their life or career, but you need your education to fall back on, and that was something that, you know, he instilled in us.
Well, you know, and it's funny you would say that because as I was, again, looking at the clip, I'm going to play a little part from two of the major officers, actually three. One is black, who's going to train some of them, and the other two officers are also going to be involved in their training, but the whole attitude of all of them are a little bit different, and it kind of goes in line with what you were saying about the things they had to face, and the movie definitely explains that there was a lot of racism at that time because they didn't believe that black pilots could even do anything. But it just ties into everything that the harder we work, the better we become at something, we become really good at it, and we're very proud of what we do because when we get into things, we usually put a lot of effort into it, almost 180% rather than the normal 110. But stick close to us. We're going to play a little of the clip. I mean, we like talking to you, and I'm getting a couple of IMs. I got a question for you that's going to come up on my Yahoo board. So I'm going to ask you that when I come back. I'm going to play a little bit of the clip, kind of stay close to us, and you'll kind of get an idea. Well, actually, you already know, but the audience will get a kind of an idea when they get the movie again. What these guys faced when they first went into the military, I think it is.
I'm Colonel Noel Rogers, the commanding officer. This is Major Sherman Joy, Director of Training, and Lieutenant Glenn, liaison officer. It is the task of myself, Major Joy, Lieutenant Glenn, and others at this training facility to train and evaluate you men as potential combat pilots. There have been many obstacles on the road to getting you here. Now that you are here, the only obstacle you will encounter will be how quick you learn, how well you obey orders, and how expert you fly. If I am the first to tell you that your being here is an experiment, take time to understand just what that means. There are people in very high places wondering if this will succeed. If I and my staff have anything to say about it, it will. However, we will cut no corners. We will allow no favors. Our business is killing our enemies from the air as efficiently and expeditiously as we know how. Now, assuming you make it through this training, that task will be your honor. Lieutenant, Major.
Why did you join the Air Corps? Cadet.
Sir.
I don't like repeating myself, Cadet.
Serve my country, sir.
Your country. Boy, are you stupid?
No, sir.
You people. Now, don't you know how bad we treat you people? Serving your country. This ain't your country. Your country's full of apes and gorillas. Malaria. Missionary.
Ain't no gorillas in Harlem.
Why'd you join the Air Corps, boy?
This country has enemies, sir, and there are people who need protecting from those enemies.
What people, nigga?
All people, sir. To my knowledge, the Germans aren't sparing the colors.
To my knowledge, the colored aren't up to fighting the Germans, let alone beating them.
Max Schmeling found out differently, sir.
Well, you know what? My job is to see if you Joe Lewis's can fly. Now, in case the colonel gave you the wrong impression, let me clear it up. You are nothing special.
You just heard two very different speeches from two very different officers. I hope you were paying attention. It is my job as liaison officer to ease your transition to military life. Reveille's at 0600, PT's at 0630, and breakfast is at 0730. At the top of the military command structure is President Roosevelt as commander-in-chief. At the bottom is you, the cadet. Everything you need can and will be found on this base. Everything you need to know has the words U.S. Army Air Corps written on the cover. If it doesn't, you don't need it.
Now, are you still there with us?
Oh, yes.
Okay. What did you think of that?
That clip made me think about a story my grandfather told me before he was leaving a town in Georgia. He went from the country into town to take care of some business, and he passed some white men there. And they spoke to him, but they referred to him as boy. And here he's a grown man. And, you know, he took it. And he asked him where was he headed. And he told him he was headed off to the Army. So I guess a couple years later, he returned. And this time he came through and he was wearing his uniform with a couple of medals on his chest. Came across the same people, and he said the guy stood and saluted him. And my granddaddy said he kind of like had a big smile, you know, in his head and in his heart, you know, because that meant a lot to him. But, you know, that's just some of the things that was going on back during that time. But he also mentioned, even though you hear that clip and they're being talked down to, sometimes things was even a little easier for them in the military than it was back in the United States in the South.
Mm-hmm.
Even
well,
though
the
they're representing
is,
our country.
Yeah, I think what we're actually trying to tell young people is to look at what people went through. And of course, like I said, racism hasn't ended. But to know that these men stood against it and really changed a lot of views. They didn't change everybody because you can't change everybody. But to hear the tape, and if you listen to the track, and I'm probably going to use that in some diversity classes or something, but there are two different military officers. The third one, of course, is the African-American who's going to train them. But the first officer just says, look, by the book, we need to do this. The second officer just calls him a nigger and tell him, you know, he don't even think they're going to make it anyway. But they proved to him that they can do it. And I think if we can still get young African-American guys to start thinking about those films and say, you know what, I do have to prove something to somebody because I need to become the best that I could be, like your granddad. I just think that when we see what happened to these people that we take for granted, that now we have the corporate jobs and we can go different places. There are still places we can't get into. But if we continue to work hard, and like you said about the land that you guys still own, these are all positive things that we need to talk about. Rather than always talking about what we didn't do, we really got to talk about the positive side to that. But I'm enjoying you being here. I'm enjoying playing the clips. So how old is the family that you come from?
Pardon?
How old is your family that you come from? Are you the 10th girl, the 6th girl, 2 girl?
Oh, you mean in my immediate family?
Uh-huh, your immediate family.
Three girls and one boy.
Okay, all right. And you guys must be really close or something compared
but
to
my
how your granddad talked to you and all that stuff.
But my dad comes from a large family, and my granddad's family are large because, you know, back in the day they were farmers, and so they tend to have a large family. But even though they had a large family, majority of them, they finished college.
Hmm.
You know what I was going to say?
You know, like I said, I'm just so amazed at how calm you are with having such a famous grandfather. I think that's just amazing. I just took my DNA test trying to find my great probably granddad or uncle dad or whatever from England. But I think that's going to be amazing. But for you to have a grandfather, and that's not far removed from your dad in relationship,
mm-hmm.
that's got to be a wonderful feeling. To know. So have you seen a lot of the medals that he's got or that he's received?
Yes, he did share that with us, and then he had like three scrapbooks, which are, you know, had letters that he would send back home, and I didn't know a lot about the military and what they allowed you to do, and I actually saw a letter from him that was sent, it was near Christmas, when he was a prisoner of war. And I was amazed because I'm thinking, oh, my God, they allowed them to have, you know, send mail. So I've seen those things in the model planes, some of the planes that he flew. We've seen those. So he shared those kind of things with us. Because we wanted to know.
Yeah, I think those are character builders. And when you see somebody with the medals on, I know my brother was in the military, and he was in the Vietnam conflict. And I used to see him in his uniform, and I thought he was really spiffy. And one of my other brothers was in the ROTC Officers Training Corps. So it's good to see us get out there and do things. And I think that when we go to schools and talk to people. Are you planning on going on the Metro Circuit or something to talk about your granddad?
No, not really. But, you know, if I can share the information, then, you know, I'm willing to do that. But I have on my bucket list, I haven't seen the Tuskegee Museum, and that's something that I want to see. So that would be one of my
bucket items. Where is that located? Do you know? I don't know where that is myself.
It's in Tuskegee. And I think that's... I don't know if it's Birmingham. I get confused. It's either Birmingham or Montgomery, where the university is located. The museum is built there in that same area.
Well, you know, one of the things about us as a culture, I know when I went to the Muhammad Ali Museum and I visited the Bill Clinton Museum and the Alex Haley home. I went by there. I went by the Little Rock Nine. And I'm headed to Maryland to see the Reginald Lewis Museum. So I'm always looking for that. And I'm probably going to put this on my list of museums to see, because I think when you go to a museum, you always grow. I'm telling you, when they did the Betsy Coleman exhibit to honor her and to put her or the actors, they were inducting her into Hall of Fame. They built the whole stage like an airplane, and you had to get your tickets. The tickets were like airplane tickets to get in, and it was probably about $100 a person, $125 actually to be exact, Now, the one that they're doing for the Tuskegee Airmen, I think in Atlanta, it's only 40. But again, I'm going to check it out and see what's going on. But this is exciting for me to be talking to you. We're going to take a quick break. This is Doris McClure. If you want to tune in, we're going to read a couple of INs I got to ask you a couple of questions. We're going to be right back. I'm talking to Ms. Lucas, who lives in the Washington State area, and she is the granddaughter of Major Carol S. Woods. And I'm enjoying the show. I'm learning a lot. I just learned about some museums that I need to go and check into, but I'm enjoying it. So we'll be right back. And Ms. Lucas, stay close with us, and we'll be back right back to you.
Has your child or grandchild dropped out of school? Do they want to find a public school that will help them graduate and receive a high school diploma? The Michigan Virtual Charter Academy allows students aged 16 through 20 to complete their high school education in the safety of their home. Students get a loan or laptop, access to online lessons, and teacher support, all tuition-free. To enroll in the Michigan Virtual Charter Academy for this fall, go to k12.com/Michigan.
With video games, I'm often choosing between what my kids want and what I think is best for them.
Hey, Mom, how about this one?
Rated T for teen with violence and suggestive themes. Let me check the rating summary. Frenetic combat, cries of pain, female warlords exposed cleavage.
Maybe the other one's better.
The rating summaries are free. Use them and you'll be armed with the world's most powerful weapon, knowledge.
For more information, go to ESRB.org.
Siempre me fijo en las clasificaciones y en la descripción del contenido en las cajas de videojuegos. Pero como a veces quiero más detalles, me encantan estos nuevos resúmenes, pues me dan una descripción más a fondo que me ayuda a decidir si los juegos son apropiados para mis hijos o no. Los resúmenes son gratis y los puedo leer en mi smartphone o en línea.
Para más información sobre clasificaciones de videojuegos y resúmenes, visite esrb.org.
And we're back, and you're listening to the Donis McClure Show. And, of course, I'm Donis McClure. And on a Friday night, we are talking to the granddaughter of a famous African-American pilot back in the day. So we said we're going to come back and answer a few more questions. One of my IM boards lit up, and the young lady was asking me on the IM, she said, to ask you if you felt like having a grandfather that was famous actually got you somewhere or opened a few more doors for you, or you just took it as he was just a normal person?
Oh, granddaddy was just granddaddy, and I just never really thought about this too much because my own dad instilled in us to, you know, do something with our life and get an education, and so did my mom. So, you know, I worked 10 years straight, never took a vacation, and to help pay for my education. So, no, now, you know, I'm an older woman, and it's still amazing to me, but no, that never got us any extra benefits, nothing of the sort, no.
Okay, I got another question for you from my IM. I told you they'll write on Yahoo and IMs to me.
Okay.
The question was, do you feel that women could have done what the Tuskegee Airmen did for the Air Force, I guess, back in the day?
They're asking if, I forgot, I didn't hear that first part.
Yeah, do you think that African-American women could have played such a prominent role as the Tuskegee Airmen did back in the day when the airmen were involved? Knowing your grandpa, do you think that would have happened for African-American women?
I think the women would be capable, but I don't know if, you know, they would afford them the same opportunity because, you know, there was a discrimination among all women, but I think that they have the ability to do, you know, do what the black men did.
Okay, all right. That answers both of those questions. Being somebody that has a good eyesight on things you're trying to do, things like that, do you think the whole premise still today with men and women, especially in the black history, do you think we give more credit to the men? men for Black History, do you think we give a lot of even credit to the women?
I don't know. I think it's even in my mind. There are so many things that Black people have done in this country that, you know, it would take us a lifetime to you know, find all of this information. But, you know, we learn and know of these people by sharing, because I don't think one person has all the answers. And it's nice, you know, when someone can share a bit of history. So I don't know. I think it's kind of even for what I know, but I'm sure there's more out there for me to learn and discover.
Okay. One more question for you from the IM board. Would you be willing to come to anybody's school during Black History Month to talk about your grandfather and participate in career days and things like that?
Sure.
Because I have a lot of fans that always ask me to come out there, and they're asking me, would you attend some of the schools? And some of the teachers sometimes ask, what they call it, I think, is like living history, where they have a person
yeah.
come in and do more of the living actual information. And I think I saw a show once where they were interviewing all the children of famous actors. So, and how did they feel, and how was their life changed? And I think maybe they should do a show on all of the children that have famous grandfathers that are Black. I mean, we got Black Girls Rock. Why don't we have a show about famous grandchildren that came from famous Black men?
That's good, William. We can share. My grandfather had the opportunity before he passed to go to school with one of my nephews and with my niece. My nephew had written a paper on the Tuskegee Airmen and had written one about my granddad, and he was here visiting in Seattle, and I had the chance to go to the school, and that was really exciting for those kids to actually see him and be able to ask him questions, and he enjoyed it himself as well as the kids.
Well, do you think you could ever get in touch with some people that have the actual medals and stuff where you could show them? Or, because I know that one of the granddaughters, it's probably a great-great-granddaughter of the lady that did the straightening comb, Madam C.J. Walker.
Oh,
she actually has a website, and people write to her all the time to come to talk about her great-great, I think it's her great-great-grandmother or great-great-grandniece or something like that, but she has a website. You ever thought about doing something like that, getting a website and showing his medals and what the relationship was between you and he?
Well, no. We don't actually have access to that, but, I mean, I do have articles that was written about him, pictures that was taken of him in the military, you know, that he sent copies to us, but the actual medals, we don't have access to it.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, I'm sure you're going to enjoy yourself at the coming up presentation. And I didn't know, man, our time is flying. I got to do the second half of my show and get ready for that, which is our fundraiser for the night. We're going to be working on that, getting that together, telling people to get on my website, which is www.dsmpublications.net. And we're going to be asking you to make sure you get your orders in for my book, Santa Claus versus the Aliens, making sure that that gets out on time. And, Ms. Dunford, you have been a great guest on my show. You're always welcome to come back on whenever you want to talk, especially during Black History Month. I may try to put together a couple of things for you to talk on and do, because I think that that's important for people to meet the granddaughter of somebody that was really out there doing some things, just like we know Paris Hilton and the one other ones I talk about. I mean, they're always saying that they're the granddaughter of somebody famous. And maybe we can put something together with you, but my clock says it is 7:54, which is getting close, and then I got to start the fundraising part of my show. But hey, listen, I learned a lot from you, and just having you on my show was a thrill. So all I could do is say, and it's hard to say congratulations, but it's good to know that you're the granddaughter of somebody that really contributed something to our history. Listen, I'm going to let you go, let you enjoy the rest of your evening, and I'm going to talk to some more people and get out there and do this fundraising stuff, but you have made the first half of my show, which flew by.
Okay.
Really. Great.
Well, thank
and
you
I,
for
I want to thank
me.
You for being on my show.
All right, thank you.
Well, you heard it there, ladies and gentlemen. I have this great young lady who is the granddaughter of a famous African-American man, which dispels the myth that all black men aren't doing very much of anything, or only the ones back in the day, and we shared it with a young woman, so that was a good thing. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Dinah McClure Show, and we've got the phone lines open for you so you can make those donations and get involved with Santa Claus versus the aliens. We're going to be talking about that and a few more things about just general life. And we're going to skip a few things on the PSAs because we're hunting for what I call Hunting for Red October, trying to get people to support that new book, Santa Claus versus the Aliens, get those donations in. Matter of fact, I already talked to a couple of young ladies, especially Glenda, who she refers to herself sometimes, like people say that she's Glinda, like Glinda the Good Witch in the Wizard of Oz. I had to laugh at that. But she's already made her commitment to get a book. And I think she's going to get Broken Wings, Fallen Angels, or maybe Romantic Images of You. But we're going to be back. We're going to enjoy the show. We've got another hour to go. We'll be done with everybody tonight. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Dinah McClure Show. And we'll be right back after my theme song plays. Show, and of course, I'm Don S. McClure, and the numbers to reach me is 818-691-7395, 818-691-7395 is the calling numbers that you can IM me, like some people do, at McClure, Don S. at yahoo.com. Actually, I kind of like that. I'm going to get me a webcam so I can see all the people on my Yahoo. I already got the Skype stuff, but that's going to be amazing. But you're listening to me, and you can email me like my fans do. And, you know, it's kind of nice to say you have fans. I'm always cracking up, I'm telling you. It's a wonderful world. Doesn't that sound like Mr. Rogers? No, that was Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I kind of forgot that. But anyway, you listen to the Don S. McClure Show. And, of course, I'm Don S. McClure. And tonight, we had a special guest on my show. She is the granddaughter of a great person in our black history. And now we're talking to you about sending that money in so that I could donate a couple of dollars to my friend's organization, the Seed House of Guidance. He's a great organization. You always hear me talk about that. I'm on the board of directors. I think he just told me that yesterday, but yes, I'm on the board, and I help do some things with him. I think he's a great guy, so we got to get donations in for that. And also for all the other websites that I built, you guys need to go out and support. But tonight we're talking about supporting my upcoming and coming out book, Santa Claus versus the Aliens. And I get a lot of people saying I like that title. I know I like it. I was talking to somebody the other day about the stuff I wrote. I mean, we must have stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning. And I hate to tell you this, but we were drinking Corona beer and talking and actually chit-chatting. So it was okay. And we started talking about positivity and the leverage that relationships seem to have on individuals when some people say, you haven't done enough, or you haven't done this, or you've done that. And it was amazing because we were talking about just being positive, and she said, I was giving birth to a new era rushing in called the era of positivity. Now, I know there's been the age of enlightenment that I learned about in school, the age of enlightenment when men were becoming more knowledgeable. Then there's always the Renaissance period. Then there's the dark times. So to know that we're putting together the age of positivity, I mean, I thought that was pretty nice when she told me that. And she's one of them people that can see into the future and read your palms. I guess she does tea leaves and stuff. I'm sure, and I doubt it. But she was telling me some things about you're going to give birth. We were joking about this birth issue. And she was saying, you're going to give birth, or actually what you have inside of you is starting to give birth. And I told her I wish the 9 months was over with so we could get the baby out there and do some things. But I had to think about what she was saying. And I do believe this is now the time to call it the age of positivity. For a long time, we spent a lot of time with negative thoughts, negative conversations. And even though we have these dilemmas, what are we doing change things around to make it better? As I was telling you about my friend that runs the Seed House of Guidance, he's only asking people to donate $35 on his website, $80, and it's www.seedhouseofguidance.us, like the United States, and you can go on there and make your donations, and people are coming in and trying to work with his organization. To me, that's positive. Then we have, like I said, Lakonda Brow. She's out there doing you ladies' eyebrows, and she's in Memphis, Tennessee. These are some good people in Memphis. She's trying to get more and more clients to come and join her, and she's a positive person. So let me ask you a question, audience. We go to Facebook. We write things on there, and I've talked about it before. We have all this young talent, like this girl, Charisse Nichols, who wrote me, who wants to really be a writer. And as she admitted, she hadn't started now. But that's kind of like in her genre, in her DNA, that she wants to be a writer, that she wants to really create books and stuff. I think that if we visited the schools maybe once a month, maybe even twice a month, and talked to that class, spend some time, maybe just an hour, you don't have to be a teacher to go to the schools, I think we would have better students. I think we'd have students seeing that we care about them and got involved. So I want to know what you think. I think if this is now, and I want everybody to start putting that on their emails and on Facebook, we are going to call this now the age of positivity. I'm floored that when she told me that. So we got to start doing that more. I see one of my IMs just lit up, and it's Josephine Henson. Says she's going to get a book. She's going to order it in the morning. She wants Santa Claus versus the aliens. So I'm going to be grateful for that. And it always sends me an email when people buy books. So keep in mind, people, when you tell me you're going to get a book, it's going to show. It's going to tell me that you got it. So that's a good thing. But to Ms. Henson, thanks a lot for getting a copy or ordering a copy of Santa Claus versus the Aliens, which is a great book, one of the best books that I've written. I also have a couple of more coming out. And you can find those books on www.dsmpublications.net. And now you can see my DSM logo. You can actually see it in my emails when I send it out. I got it at the back of my emails, and I send it to people and let them know I'm DSM. And when I came up with that, I actually, a long time ago, had a ring that had the organization I was working with at that time. I was calling it the East African Museum, and I had a ring with EA on it that I was going to pass down to my son. So some of the design of the ring still looks the same. I just took out the EA and put DSM in there, and I still have the shield and the gargoyle lion and my royalty. I feel that every day, every time I get into that. So I got to get a queen sooner or later to be sitting next to me on my throne there, and I could be the king. Hey, I got another email from a Lynette Collins. She just bought her book online, and I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to see that. I told you it pops up right on my screen. So we only have 29 more orders that I need to get in for tonight. And you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And, of course, I'm Don S. McClure. And play a little bit of one of the songs that's going to come from one of the plays that I'm working on, from Romantic Images of You. We're going to take a quick break, play a little music for you. The song is going to be used in a restaurant scene where Tiana sings to her lover, David, and she wants to let him know how much she loves him. And I know my book, Romantic Images of You, is going to sell really big during the Valentine's holiday, but it could sell at any time. It's a great poetry book. But let's play a little bit of this music. See if we can get some more people to donate. I'm Don S. McClure. You're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and the song is from the 1930s. It's going to be rearranged, so any of you singers out there need to send me an email that you want to do the song in my upcoming play, Romantic Images of You, Where My Heart Belongs, and the name of the song is I'll Never Stop Loving You by Doris Day.
I'll never stop loving you, whatever else I may do, my love for you will live till time itself is through. I'll never stop wanting you, and when forever is through, my heart will be the way it does each time we meet. The night doesn't question the stars that appear in the skies. So why should I question the stars in my eyes? Of this I'm more than just sure, my love will last and endure. I'll never, no, I'll never stop loving you.
Well, I like that song now. I wish somebody would sing in my ear, I'll never stop loving you. I like that one. But anyway, you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and of course, I'm Don S. McClure. And we're asking you to get on those phone lines, to actually get to that computer, and send in those donations so we can finish this Santa Claus versus the Aliens and start sending that book out. We only need 28 more people to come online and do what they got to do. I heard another beam on my computer, and, you know, I kind of felt like I was like Jerry Lewis or something, you know, doing when he does the telethon for the kids. And then I kind of thought about Lou Rawls. And I, you know, I actually used to sing. Did anybody know that I used to sing? And I was going to sing one of Lou Rawls' songs, but I think my studio producer told me, don't quit your day job, but he doesn't know I can sing. So I got news for him. When we make this 28 people donating tonight, I'm going to sing up a storm. I'm going to sit right next to him and sing in his ear. But, you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And, of course, I'm Don S. McClure. And I love to broadcast you live every Friday. I have a great listening audience. I have great followers. And I enjoy my show, my PSAs, and my guests. I think it's a great thing to do. Next week on my show, we're going to be talking about my other book, To Have a Friend. And it's my first crime thriller. We're going to talk about that. That's going to be good. And I did get a chance to find a website that I'm going to be working with. So when I do the actual little video clips on YouTube and Facebook, you may see even more animation than the ones I've done. As a matter of fact, I got an email from a friend of mine named Adam West, and he was talking about the clip that I did with my prayer. And he asked me, where did it come from? And I looked it up, and it has a lot to do with the Jewish-Arabic relationship in culture and belief. And it's the prayer that they're praying for hope. So when I played that on Facebook, it really got a lot of responses. Some people say, I didn't know you were Muslim. I said, well, it's not a Muslim chant. But it just goes to show you sometimes we don't listen. Sometimes we jump the gun. But it was such a beautiful piece. And actually, I got that from my friend, Lieutenant Higgins. And you know what's so funny? I like to hear the Spanish people say, hey, Latano, you know. I think that is such a, I like those accents. You know, I'm going to put that in my play when they meet some of the guys that they're doing battle with. And, you know, I like doing accents. And when you're a writer, you get to kind of clown around with things and do some things. I had a great lunch the other day with a couple of people, one of the clients that's going to be with the Seed House of Guidance. And, of course, Mr. President of Seed House of Guidance was there. It was just a great lunch. I mean, to know that black people are doing these kind of positive things. And it was a bank. My producer hollered in the background, it's a bank, it's a bank, it's a bank. I said, okay, thank you for telling me it's a bank. It was a bank. I can't say the name of the bank. Yeah, he was a bank manager. He's hollering, bank manager. Why don't he put up a big sign in the back and say, bank manager, you know. It was a bank manager. And it was such a great, great meeting, because we always talk about how black people don't do business. And he took us to lunch. And there was a white guy at that. He out of the producer, hey, there's a white guy at that. Okay, so there was a white guy. And it was just so neat to hear us three sitting together talking about the benefit of his organization. So I think it was good. I think it was really excellent. And like I said, you're listening to the Donald Sclapone Show. We got 48 more minutes to go, not long. I need 27 more people to get online and get Santa Claus versus the Alien so that we can get it right out to you. Start working on that, get that finished. I'd hate to miss Christmas without being a big success. But you're listening to me talk tonight on Friday. And I really enjoyed my guest earlier, Ms. Dunford. I learned so much from her. And not only did we talk about to the audience about her relationship with her grandfather, but again, it dispels the myth about black families not working together. Now, I'm not sure, I can't remember because I was so amazed at how much land her grandfather had because he had 10 votes. But I think she said he had 300 acres. And I'm going to check back with her, but she didn't say 3 acres or 2 acres or 50. I think she said 300 acres. So that's a lot because he got 10 votes for my producer says he's got 10. I think he got a lot. As a matter of fact, he just got some land donated to him. We got to do a show about that. But 300 acres for a black man and for the family to still have that 300 acres. I think that's amazing. I'd like to know where the 300 acres are and what they've done with it, and have they built any homes? Are they planning on building, like, apartment buildings or something? But again, my show always dispels the myths that black people don't work together. So you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and of course, I am Don S. McClure, the one and only, and it's a Friday night. I come on every Friday at 7 Central and 8 Eastern.
Has your child or grandchild dropped out of school? Do they want to find a public school that will help them graduate and receive a high school diploma? The Michigan Virtual Charter Academy allows students aged 16 through 20 to complete their high school education in the safety of their home. Students get a loan or laptop, access to online lessons, and teacher support, all tuition-free. To enroll in the Michigan Virtual Charter Academy for this fall, go to k12.com/Michigan.
Never get the flu.
My kids don't need more shots.
I don't have time.
We're all healthy.
My asthma's under control.
But I'm pregnant. I've had the flu before. It's not a big deal.
My kids are too old for flu.
The media is exaggerating.
I can fight it naturally.
My diabetes, it's under control.
No matter how you build your excuses, the flu can blow your house down.
I can't believe I used up all my sick time.
I missed a week of school during finals.
Now my baby has it because of me.
The hospital? Death?
Keep your foundation strong. Vaccinate. Learn more at flu.gov.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
So remember, in those cold cities, that your children and you might get the flu. You know, I have a habit of rhyming. I kind of like that. But make sure you get, I guess you get your flu shots. They were giving them at Walgreens free if you didn't get them. But I got a couple of comments that it's a great show so far. So I want to see some more of my IMs light up so that I can get more capitalization in. And one just popped up that we're doing another great job and to give some people some calls and some shouts out when I finish my show. One of the things that I like, again, and we're going to use the term from now on, the age of positivity. I remember when I was in the car the other day, and I was talking to my best friend, and we were riding, and I had just heard the audio clip for this new movie called The Horse. And I heard the way they were speaking of passion and the horse and how he traveled across, I guess, into different wars, and people love riding him. And I was telling them that, you know, a lot of the riders now have done the horses, the dogs, the birds. And I like the way that they speak. So as I heard them playing the clip about the horse, it's called War Horse. It's by Steven Spielberg. I was thinking about the book I'm coming out with, The Gods at the Beginning of Life. And there's a statue in there because there's 30 beautiful statues. And one of them is one of the lead gods. And he's sitting there talking to the other gods because it's at the time that when the gods very first began. They actually hadn't had anything happen in their sphere until, man, another one popped up. I hope that's that was just something else. It's a sphere that they're talking about, and he's trying to lecture to them about what they got to do about the war that they're going to have. And I was joking with my friend, and I was trying to talk in one of those English accents or British or godly-like accents, and I was saying something like, it's this war, and we are the gods. And he kind of laughed. He was down. I think you're crazy. But when you think about that, how many times have the children tried to mimic something in a play, and you kind of shut them down or said, hey, why are you doing that? And what happened was the people started thinking like, hey, you know, you see all these animations. You see the animations for the train. I mean, everybody's doing animations now, getting paid for them, and when do we start thinking about the field of animation, just using our voices to become characters? A lot of the white movie people have always done that. And we're finding a few of the blacks now starting to lend their voice to be characters. So when we're doing career days, have we mentioned to some of them or even listen to some of the students and see what their voice is like? They might have a voice like a Pee Wee Herman, or they might have a voice like one of the characters that you're hearing on the Transformers. Wouldn't it be nice to tell the students that, hey, you could take that voice and put it into the radio, the TV, the motion picture industry, and get paid for that? We're 19 minutes into the show. I'm putting out Food for Thought. This is Don S. McClure, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And I'm looking for 27 more people to go on my website, which is www.dsmpublications.net, and hit that button and give me another one for, I just got another email. Hello, I got a new email address. Okay, somebody just got a new email address. So, man, I mean, they write me all while I'm on the show. Like I told you, I feel like David Letterman or Jay Leno. The only thing I haven't done so far is the jokes, like the prologue when they come on and have my drummer go, brum, brum. You know, I think that would be good. I might start doing that on my show, too. But you're listening to the Donis McClure Show, and we're 20 minutes into the half hour. We're almost done with the show. So I need 27 more people to go to my website, punch that button that will get you a copy of Santa Claus versus the Aliens, and make me happy and make some children happy. And you might even want to give one as a gift. You might even want to give one to your granddaughter or stepdaughter. Some of your siblings might have children that you want to give one to as a gift. Matter of fact, I talked to a friend of mine and said he was going to get a copy of it for his older brother. He said to make sure I send him an email, so I'm going to do that tonight. But you're listening to the Donis McClure Show, and we're going to take a quick out of here for a minute and play another song that I'm going to use in my play, so that's why I'm playing these. And if you want to be in the play, write me. It's called Romantic Images of You, Where My Heart Belongs. We're going to start actually doing the play in January. And it's one of the Aretha songs because, again, you got to look at the premise of this. Tiana is madly, and I do mean madly, in love with her boyfriend, David. And they stay together for 16 years. They have a child at the end of the book. And in the play, the child gets to tell the students how she got her name. But this is the scene that we're at, is where Tiana's at the club, the dinner club, and she's already asked the managers, can she sing a couple of songs for the guy she's in love with, while he sits there and has a nice glass of wine, probably Tiani or something, or I drink Yellowtail myself, to let you know, so I don't do the hard alcohol, but I do Yellowtail, but they're sitting there having a glass of wine, and she's up on the stage, and she wants him to know how much she loves him through songs. So I'm looking for singers to be able to pull these songs off and do a great job and make everybody in the audience fall in love and believe that Tiana really loves David. But let's play a little bit from Aretha's song, I'm a Fool for You. One day I'd like to play it. I love it. I'm only doing the clips from the play that I'm going to do, so I can't play it all, but that is a thrilling song. And if you think about it, I mean, for you guys out there, how many women have you known that would stand on a tabletop and sing for you? I mean, that to me is real, real love. And I want you to imagine Tiana with this beautiful dress, her hair like the 1930s with this nice wave on the side, and she's a beautiful singer. I just think that you can't beat that. So when you're out there, and we're probably going to do really, really big with Romantic Images of You during February. But I'm telling you, in the conversation I was having last night with this woman who's very knowledgeable and spiritual, and I was telling her that we always talk about the poetry of Shakespeare, but I was telling her I was more inspired by the poetry of a black man, or at least the reading of poetry, from Arthur Prysock. And it was the first time that I ever heard this poem, and it really inspired me. You know, not that I, my producer said, just said it. I'm going to get to that. I tell you, you're kind of crazy. I think you all met the dog or something. But I think that being inspired by a black artist, I mean, the poem was so great. When I first heard it, I'm driving in my car, got the convertible top down. It is like 2 o'clock in the morning. There's nobody out there but the stars. And I'm hightailing it down the road, and this, I think I'm the coolest thing in the world when I hear this poem come on. And it's at the time an album is called This Is My Beloved. And I remember hearing this, and I'm thinking, man, I could probably talk to some young lady I'm talking to and really give her this poetry, and we would just grow so tight and close. Because at the time that I heard the album, most black men were like, I'm not saying no poetry, that's mushy. But I felt like if I could study Cyrano de Bergerac, who was a great poet in the movie Cyrano, if I could study Shakespeare, here was this black man who had such a great voice that influenced me today to write Romantic Images of You. Anyway, the poem goes, let's see if I can remember it all now. I said it last night. When all the poems on the theme have been written, and all the night and day dreams dreamt without prophecy or fulfillment, when hope sustains us no longer, nor being drunk or busy or therapeutically in love keeps us from remembering why we parted, if we ever knew it at all. Remembering, however, when we could be warm together. Kiss, though the cold, when even baby talk became you, yes. And everything I said was sweet or funny. And everything you did was just absolutely beautiful. I can remember your eyes in detail. And I can remember the curls of your soft brown hair and its touch. And cupping my hands just so, as if I held your face. Blindfolded, I could kiss 1,000 miles and know your lips. I could tell time by your mouth's kisses. I have looked too long upon you, too long, and with so much love that strangers can see you in my face as the sun leaves an after image in the eyes. Now, I thought that was just, when I heard that, I was like, man, my producer back there cried. He said, he got tears in his eyes. And you know what? But just think about it. Now, we have all these, the black elite, and we're always talking about poetry, and we jump right to Maya Angelou, and we almost leave out Prysock. I mean, this is a male. I don't want to give females credit for writing poetry. But what about the black male? I mean, even some of the rappers come up with no producer. You can't sing your poem. But anyway, when you think about how we don't see the black man as being able to even memorize, because I haven't heard that poem in some years. I'm not going to tell you when I heard it. It was a while ago. But when you think about that, maybe if you go online and look up, go to Google or actually go to YouTube and look up This Is My Beloved by Arthur Prysock. And you'll get a chance to hear some of the clips from this poetry album mixed with music. And it really did inspire me. That's how I wanted to write Romantic Images of You, Where My Heart Belongs. You're listening to the Donis McClure Show. And, of course, I'm Donis McClure. We've only got 30 more minutes to go, so I need 27 more people to hit that dial, go to that website, which is www.dsmpublications.net. Get that order in so that I can send you Santa Claus versus the Aliens. But I am enjoying my show. I'm going to get some tissue while I take a break and give it to my producer back because he stopped crying and whining. He said he had a poem, but I can't let him do it on the air. But anyway, we'll be right back. This is Don S. McClure, and you are listening to the Don S. McClure Show on a Friday night.
Hi, I'm Amanda Peet. Like all new parents, my husband and I want what's best for our baby. When it was time for our daughter's immunizations, we wanted the facts. So we carefully researched vaccines. We spoke with doctors and other experts and asked some tough questions. We decided that vaccines were the best thing for our child. I urge you to get the facts. Learn the facts about vaccines so you can make the best healthcare decisions for your family. Thank you.
A message from the American Academy of Pediatrics and VaccinateYourBaby.org.
This is Chicago-style hot dog here. I'm not feeling too good. Turns out, along with all the other bad things my cholesterol does, they say it's a risk factor for strokes. Strokes? Sheesh! Good news from National Stroke Association. Exercising, eating right, and asking your doctor about medicines that can help lower your cholesterol, like statins, may reduce the risk of a first stroke. And if you've already had a stroke, it's even more important you lower your cholesterol.
Lower your chances of stroke by controlling your cholesterol. Visit stroke.org today.
Hello?
Lisa? It's Janet.
What's wrong?
Oh, these are the bridesmaids' dresses for Lindsay's wedding.
Oh, no. Tell me they're not fuchsia.
Oh, they're not fuchsia.
Then what? Oh, they're gaudy, aren't they? All ruffles and lace. Great. Well, look like a chorus line.
No, no, no. They're really quite simple. It's the material I'm most concerned about.
Oh, I knew it. I specifically said no chiffon. I mean, it's so passe. I just don't think...
It's not chiffon.
Then what?
They're made out of old yellow pages.
What? I didn't catch that. It sounded like you said they're made out of old yellow pages.
Yep. I'm afraid you heard right. It's got something to do with recycling and good karma on her wedding day.
Oh, that's special. I'm not going to know whether a guy's checking me out or just looking for the number of a good mechanic.
Funny. Very funny.
There's a better way to recycle your outdated Dex phone books. Find out just how easy we've made it in your neighborhood. Call 1-877-2-GET-DEX or log on to DexKnows.com.
And I'm back, and this is Don S. McClure, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And as a matter of fact, within another week, we're going to start playing PSAs from some of the clients that I already have. I'm going to be working on a PSA for the Seed House of Guidance. I'm definitely going to work on one for the Voices of Joy for my sister, who's already emailed me and said, hey, little brother, I do need some help here. I'm also going to do one for Lakonda Nicole. I'm going to do one for her. So the PSAs kind of represent, because we can't really do commercials, but we can do PSAs. So we're going to work on getting some of the locals that I work with getting some PSAs on the air. So, I mean, they might as well take advantage of the airtime. And that's the whole thing about giving. It's the Christmas season. So give to your little heartbreaks. And give me these 27 more people that I need. Because my little heart breaks. Oh, man. I don't want to cry in front of Santa. But anyway, listen to the Don S. McClure Show, and we're back. And we're talking about Santa Claus versus the Aliens. We've got 23 more minutes, and we'll be off the air. And then, starting in January, not only will I be doing a Friday show, well, we're going to start talking about a show about health on Saturday. Can you imagine that? As much as I like to eat, I mean, I love Chinese food and stuff, and I've been eating some Honduras food, but I keep telling the woman that made the Honduras food, you need to get a restaurant. But I like food. Everybody in the world knows I enjoy it. And skinny as I am, because people say, Don, have you gotten any bigger? And I'm like, no. But I sure like to eat. I mean, there's something about food that I really enjoy. Good food, a good glass of wine, a good cup of coffee, good glass of water. And my producer has a good water. I said, okay, I was talking about food. I wasn't talking about women. But he said it's a good woman. Okay, so good food, good company, and a good everything, but I really do. I mean, I love food. So in the towns that I'm visiting, and of course I got to get to Indianapolis, Indiana, because I got a lot of fans up there, a lot of people I want to see, some special people I want to connect with. My daughter lives there, and I definitely want to get out to Berwyn. I definitely want to do the Berwyn scene. You know, as long as I lived in Chicago, actually, you know, I think I've only been to Berwyn once. I've been to Skokie, but I don't think I've been to Berwyn. I've been to Cicero, and I've been to Palatine, so I got to go out there. And before I go, one day I'm going to play a clip on my show from Svengoolie, and you're going to hear his group talk about Berwyn. But I'm looking forward to all these things. I think next year is just going to be such a phenomenal year for me. And don't forget, in April, I go to Italy for a couple of months. So I'll be there and check out some Black history, maybe see where I can find that POW camp that Major Carol S. Woods was in, or just the area, and also see some good things, and probably write another book. I do like writing, so I'll probably do that, and I'll probably enjoy some Italian food. I think Italian food, I actually like Italian food now, so I know when I get there, I'll get the authentic. I think I'm getting the authentic in Chicago, and I love Chicago. It's my hometown, and you know what? Do you remember when Frank Sinatra made that song? I think I'm going to hit that one day on my show. My kind of town, Chicago is. I think I'll make up my own version for that. You know, I think my producer might like that if I sing My Kind of Town, Chicago. He just said, like, don't quit your day job. But he doesn't know I can sing. We got 23 more minutes for the show. You're listening to Donis McClure, and it's My Kind of Town, Chicago is. I like that. Matter of fact, the city is working on promoting Black writers, and actually just writers, period, that have written anything about the Chicago area. So, you know, I love my city. No matter where I go, I'm like Dorothy in the ruby red slippers. I really love me some Chicago. I hate the cold, but I like being there. I really enjoy Chicago. It's a great, especially the north side and the downtown area. Not to slight the other sides, my guys. Don't email me and say I didn't talk about the west side and the south side or the near north. But I like the north side, best of all. Matter of fact, I grew up on the west side. And then we moved to the south side of Chicago, matter of fact, to the Morgan Park area. And then from there, I got into corporate, did some other things and grew. And I left the north, south side, and I started moving downtown. But my first apartment was on the west side. Then my second one, third one, fourth one, and fifth one was actually on the north side. So I really like north. Even when I was on the northwest side, it's still kind of north. So I enjoyed that. But you're listening to Donis McClure, and the call-in numbers are 818-691-7395. That's the numbers to call. Or you can IM me at McClureDonis@yahoo.com. Or you can email me at McClureDonis@gmail.com. And we've got 20 more minutes to go. We'll be through for tonight. I still need 27 more people to dial in, to go to that website, punch that button. And I feel like I'm on the Jerry Lewis telephone. Maybe even Channel 11. You know, Channel 11 does them. They come on, and I think I'm more closer to them. They play music. They get some singers, and you get to hear the old singers come out and sing. And some of the guys used to sing back in the 50s, and now they're on TV, and they got bald heads and stuff. And they're singing it away. And they got this high set of voice, and you're going like, man, was that Frankie? But you know what? I got a chance to see Frankie Beverly and Maze. I think something is in the water that Frankie Beverly drinks, because they still sound sure enough good, and they still playing some of the same songs. And people go crazy when you say Frankie Beverly and Maze. I mean, people go like, man, that's Frankie Beverly and Maze. And I'm sure some of the current singers are going to be like that when they get older. But think about it. Frankie Beverly and Maze is still. Matter of fact, I like saying that. I was watching a Boys to Men clip the other day, because I watch a lot of clips. And I think they had Charlie Wilson on there singing with them. And the next time I get a chance, I'm going to try to play that on my radio show. But the clip was so nice, and it was either I'll Keep Loving You or I'm In Love With You or some kind of title. I don't remember exactly. But a friend of mine who actually lives in, I think I always put her in Houston, and we've been friends for like, God, 10 years. She sent me the clip. She was on Facebook, and she was sending out these clips of, I guess, all the music that she likes. And she sent me the clip with Boys to Men. And I played it while I was on YouTube, and then I said, well, I kept doing the thing called buffering. So I decided to go directly to YouTube and download it to the computer. And I got to playing this song, and I said, man, I really like this. Now, it plays in my real player, but it won't play in my other media things. But just imagine, that song was so tight by Boys to Men. I mean, we can really sing. So when you get a chance, email me and I'll send you some of the names of some of the songs I like to play. And, of course, it's Sade's at the top of the list. But I was listening to this Boys to Men, and I was so fascinated with Charlie Wilson being on the clip with them and really getting a little riffing and stuff or bebopping or like, blah, 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 blah. And it was really, really, really neat to hear that. So when you get a chance, check out the, go online, go to YouTube, and type in Boys to Men featuring Charlie Wilson. And when you hear it, and tell them I gave them a plug on my radio show, the Donis McClure Show, so maybe they'll send me a donation or something. But I really like the clip. That's the one thing I like about YouTube, is the clips that they play. But you're listening to the Donis McClure Show. We got 18 more minutes for you to IM me and get me off the ground with this Santa Claus versus the Aliens. And I just got an IM in from one of the people I built a site for, Miss Flo of Miss Flo's Bears. And her website is www.missflosbears.com. I built that site. And she already sent me an email saying she's going to support me continuously. So now we need 26 more. We're getting close down to the minutes, 17 more minutes. And I think that we're going to make it. I just believe that in my heart of hearts. I think we're going to make it. So you're listening to the Donis McClure Show, and tonight we're doing the fundraising part, the second half of my show. First half, we had this Andrea Lucas Dunford. And like I said, Dunford is an English name. It comes from the house of Dunford, probably. So I'm going to look that up. And, of course, let everybody know what I'm waiting anxiously to get my DNA back so I can justify that I am related to the King of Spain and Portugal, which I'm only joking, ladies and gentlemen. Don't get crazy on me now. But we'll be right back. You're on the Donis McClure Show on a Friday night, asking you to open those wallets and credit cards and send me that money so I can pay off a couple of bills for the radio show. Talk to you in a minute. I'll be right back.
I never thought it would take over my life. I never thought I'd lose all my friends. I never thought I'd steal from my mom. I never thought I'd start dealing. I never thought I'd go to jail. I never thought my kids would be taken away. When I started using meth, I never thought I'd lose it all.
I was a really loving kid. Family was always number one. But after I started using meth, my sister told me she was worried about me. I even ruined my mom's wedding. My uncle wouldn't let me near his kids. My best friend wouldn't talk to me. I ruined every relationship. I'm still trying to get my family to trust me again.
Meth can take it all away, just like that. For more information, visit methresources.gov. Sponsored by ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Hi, I'm Jet Williams. Even though I never knew my father, Hank Williams, his legacy taught me the meaning of lending a helping hand. That's why I support the Orphan Foundation of America. OFA is committed to providing education, mentoring, and a workplace readiness for thousands of teens aging out of the foster care system. With the help of OFA's support programs, these young people can go to college and trade school, graduate, and make the leap from foster care to success. To learn how you can help, Visit orphan.org.
Every year, thousands of teens age out of foster care and face life on their own without the love and support of a family. For over 25 years, the Orphan Foundation of America has provided a safety net of support for these vulnerable young people. With OFA's help, these youth graduate from college and trade school, progress to exciting professional careers, and make the leap from foster care to success. Find out how you can support America's foster youth. Log on to orphan.org. That's orphan.org.
And I think those were great. And like I said, don't forget, www.seedhouseofguidance.us. He does the same program that that organization does. And he's local in Memphis, so I'd like to see a lot of the Memphis people get involved with his program. So don't forget that. So log on to seedhouseofguidance.us. Jesus Christ, I think I've been drinking too many Coronas. On the air. But what do you think about taking my show? My oldest brother always writes me and says that I need to be on TV. Well, I know I'm going to Hollywood next year because I'm shopping some of my books. But wouldn't it be nice? You know, I had a TV show. And it was great. I had it for like 3 to 4 years. It was called EA News. So imagine if I turned my radio show into a TV show. Man, I mean, then you'll get to see me maybe nightly. I know you can see me right now on the IM, so maybe nightly you can see me on the air, on TV. That would really be something to have everybody tune in. This is the Don McClure Show. Kind of like Johnny Carson. All right, for that, we have 13 more minutes into the show. And this is Donis McClure, and you're listening to the Donis McClure Show on a Friday night. And I am having a ball the last 15 minutes, 13 minutes of my show. I think it's great. And I like when I get my fan mail. I wonder why I get fan mail after I do my show, though. I guess that's what fans do, huh? They write you after the show. So the young lady, they asked me to come to Corpus Christi, Texas. I have some friends out there in Corpus Christi. So I'm going to get a chance to go out there and visit her school. And for those of you that want me to come to your schools, no matter what state it's in, what city, just send me an email and I'll see if I can get out there and bring you some, the new age of positivity. That's what it's called, the new age of positivity. We got 12 more minutes into the show. You're listening to Don S. McClure. And, of course, I am on the Don S. McClure Show on a Friday night. I wonder what some of you are doing on Friday night. Are you out? You know, now you can get my show on iPad, iPhone, whatever they got. I don't have an iPhone. I think that I got a nice cell phone, though. I really, really do. But it's not an iPhone. But I got to get one because I just got a new credit card system that will let me swipe credit cards right over my phone. And I think that is just such an ingenious idea. But anyway, I was asking the question, what are you doing on a Friday night? I mean, do you just go out with your girlfriends? Do you go out with your guy friends? Do you go bowling, play cards, head straight to the club? Some of you head to the casinos. I wonder what everybody does on a Friday night. I know that a lot of times on Friday, I used to just give me a really good video and watch my videos and have a nice dinner. And I would really enjoy sitting in front of my TV watching a really nice movie on Friday. Not that I was a, what did they used to call them? Homebug or something. I forget what it is. Couch potato or something like that. But I was, I really actually enjoyed Friday night doing my thing on the Friday night watching TV. For one, it was safer. For two, I think I would fix up this really nice meal and have my little drink ready. And I mean, I saw some really great movies. And then, of course, Saturday, I went out, and I even went out on some Sundays. I would do early brunch with a young lady I was dating, and we'd go to brunch and have a nice time and sit outside at Starbucks or something and just talk. I think we've gotten away from that. Just getting the person you care about or the person you love or your best friend, or going out and just saying, you know what, I just want to have a conversation. It doesn't have to be about business. It doesn't have to be about relationships. Let's just go out and sit outdoors and have dinner or lunch, actually just brunch. And a lot of the hotels in Chicago, they used to do some great brunches. And a lot of the hotels in Memphis used to do brunch. I don't think they do that anymore. But just think about when you go outside on a Sunday. Just taking an early brunch. And I know some of you are saying, well, I'm at church, and I've gone to church, or I got to get to church. But sometimes just take a day off from the things that you normally do. Just change your routine. It won't kill you. I don't think God will get you if you miss a Sunday. I don't think the minister will get you if you don't come with the collection plate. If you don't hear the word from T.D. Jakes or Joel Osteen on Sunday, maybe just change up a little bit. Not that you got to get away from anything. But how about just taking a minute to yourself? I was talking to Lynette the other day, and I was telling her that it's going to be good when she takes a vacation day. And I think a lot of us are so wound up. But we don't take time for ourselves. We don't get involved in that. We got 8 more minutes before the show goes off. And I didn't make my 26 more people, so maybe I'll see them when I get off the show. But I'm looking forward to a whole new year. Doing more traveling, working on my friends' nonprofit association, working to try to make my clients and the people I've done stuff for better. And just actually looking at the new year, really getting involved in some new things and learning a lot of new things. I'm also looking forward to getting some new software because I'm going to get deeply into the animation area of my books so that I can do the animations myself or maybe cut a clip or something like that. So I'm going to be working on a lot of that. Before I go to Italy, I'm going to really get involved in that kind of thing. And I meant to send a shout-out to my oldest brother, because he's always supportive of my show. I'm surprised he's not listening tonight. His wife does genealogy, so if you ever need somebody for that, let me know, and I'll send you my my sister-in-law's email. And I definitely have to send a shout-out before I leave this show for my favorite granddaughter. Yes, I have a granddaughter. She lives in Iowa. She is so beautiful, so talented. And then, of course, I have to send a shout-out to my daughter's daughters, who, of course, they're my daughters and granddaughters, and she has a son. And they're really beautiful children. Matter of fact, I think our genes are so strong, we just make beautiful kids. So that's a good thing. And to my youngest son, Jacob, I have to send out a thing for him. Most people say, I didn't know you had a son 16. Yeah, he's 16 years old, young man. So when you think about life, how far you came, some of the things you're doing, think about all the great things that you put together in life. We've got 6 more minutes, and I'll be off the air till next Friday. And we're going to try to do some new and beautiful things for you. And we're going to have a show where we're going to be talking about my book, To Have a Friend. It's my first crime thriller. We're going to be reading a little bit from that. And we'll probably do a little bit from the gods in the beginning of life. I think that's great. And then in February, I have another book out called A Question of History. But we're not going to talk about that one next week. We're only going to be doing To Have a Friend and the gods. So I want you guys to make sure you tune in. And I don't want to get to where I have 20 and 30 books on the market and you only got one. It would be nice for all of you to have my collection to share with your friends. So I think as we do each show, I'm going to read a little bit from each one of my books. Get everybody involved in that. But we got 5 more minutes. And you know, actually 4 because we take a minute off to play my theme song before I leave, which my band is really good. And just think, one day my band is going to be right standing next to me where I can do like Jay Leno and them and look out there and talk to them and enjoy them on stage with me. And we're up to my 21st show. Can you believe it? 21 shows on Blog Talk Radio. I mean, time is flying by. So I need your support so that I can keep doing my radio shows and writing these great books. And you can reach me at 702-530-6083. That's my phone number. That's my private number that you can call and leave me a voicemail and say, hey, Don, I want to talk to you about you coming to speak or getting one of my books or anything that you want to discuss. You can call me off the show. 702-530-6083. So that's my number from the show, my personal cell. And when I'm on the show, you can call 818-691-7395. And this show is being brought to you by the Seed House of Guidance.us. So that's good when you have somebody say, hey, I want to see you do better. I want to see you grow. You know, I always get hoarse after 2 hours. That's just amazing. But I am drinking a good cup of coffee from Exxon gas stations. I do a lot of plugging, don't I? But the coffee is good. Now, I like McDonald's coffee, but I like Exxon's coffee. Exxon's coffee is $1.08 for a large size, and McDonald's is $1 for any size. So it's kind of a toss-up. But we got 3 more minutes, and actually 2 more minutes, and I'm going to be off the air. You're listening to the Donis McClure Show. And, of course, I'm Donis McClure, and I enjoy my show every Friday. It's a long show this tonight because we're trying to get more of the you guys to dig into those credit cards, order those books. We start shipping them out ASAP. But I'm enjoying my show tonight. I really am. And I enjoyed my guest. If you want to write her, just send me an email, and who knows? She may come out and speak at your school or in your community. I think we need to start doing more of that. So as the clock ticks down to almost 2 minutes, we're going to get off the air in a few. And to my fans, and to my listening audience, my followers on Twitter and Facebook, I really enjoy you people. I think that it's great to have fans. I never knew when I was growing up that I would have fans. So don't forget to go to my website, www.dsmpublications.net. And don't forget I'm going to be working on a family library in Chicago for my whole entire generational family. It's going to be a building where they can come and sit and talk and work on laptops and find out more about family heritage and family unity. And try to work out some of those issues that they got with some of the past relationships. But to be a more positive family, like the young lady was talking about, her grandfather got this land. So for me, ladies and gentlemen, this is it. I'm going to take a sip of my good coffee, and I'm going to say my favorite saying. I want you to enjoy life, because that's all you have. And for me, it is...